When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Demi Woody joins us right now to discuss all things NFL. And I don't know if we begin there or there's other places we can go, but Wood,
we always got to start with the locals.
I actually was going to ask him, since he's had experience in this, as they announced the Super Bowl is going to have 20% capacity down at Tampa, would it impact the game at all when you're on the field to not have like a just, you know, 70, 80,000 people and that kind of buzz and feel? Because we saw the NBA Finals with no one in the building, and it felt like it lacked something. Would the Super Bowl suffer the same thing?
Not in my opinion, because once you step between the white lines, I'm not concerned about the fans. My whole concern is playing a football game. And when you're talking about a potential world championship on the line, a Super Bowl on the line, you can have one person in the stand. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just focused solely on trying to win a chip.
Now, I'll tell you what, I want to go around. Let's just bounce around the league. There's not a lot to really talk about with the locals. We got the normal, okay, you know, Giants suck, Jets suck. But let's go to a team that is playing for the division. You talk about being able to keep your eyes on the prize, right? Not to listen to the white noise and the distractions. The Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, with everything that's transpired about Andy Dalton getting scraped up, showing that they were soft, that nobody even cared to even go and defend their quarterback. And then you have, you know, Carson Wentz, who hasn't been playing well, but he's played well in spurts, but has been running for his life. At the end of the day, if you're in both of these locker rooms, what would be your message to these guys to try and get them to understand that, listen, yeah, combined we got 9 losses, 9 L's, but all we need is one win and we're in first place?
Well, listen, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, my God, what more could you possibly want as far as the inside track in the winning the division? You're talking about a Dallas Cowboys team that now is on his third quarterback, a rookie named Ben DiNucci, who's going to be starting for the Dallas Cowboys, and they got all sorts of problems, you know, all around the organization. The Giants clearly aren't doing anything, and the Washington football team, they're the Washington football team. So, you know, if you're Carson Wentz, man, you just got to go out there and handle your business, knowing you're by far the best quarterback in that division. And as far as the Dallas Cowboys is concerned, this whole thing, I said today on TV, I think the Dallas Cowboys should blow this thing up. I really do. I think the Dallas Cowboys coming to the season, I think a lot of people felt like they had a lot of pieces to contend in the NFC, but now when you really look at this Cowboys team and the disarray that surrounds this organization, obviously Dak Prescott is out. You know, the defense is just, like you say all the time, Bart, they can't stop a nosebleed. And then I think the most important aspect of this team, their offensive line. Their offensive line has been the identity of that team for a few years now. They're decimated. I think this is a team that I think they need to hit the reset button and start over.
Get rid of Tyron Smith? Like, so do you change coaches in the first year, right? Do you change coaches? We saw in Arizona. I mean, who's the coach that had 1 year and they fired him?
Yeah, it was
Was it Van Joseph?
Steve Wilkes.
One and done. Does Jerry World have the ability to admit that he made a mistake? And maybe will he reach down to maybe Lincoln Riley and say, listen, I need you to come fix this?
You know, Bart, there's a lot – people have a lot of pride, man. That's the thing that gets in the way of, you know, a lot of these decisions. You have pride, and I don't know if Jerry Jones is willing to admit that he made a mistake, man, because this team is not responding to Mike McCarthy at all. Even when they were at full strength, this team just lacked it. You know, think about how far this team has fallen since Jason Garrett. Think about this now, okay? Think about how much we lamented Jason Garrett as far as, you know, not being able to, you know, get this team over the hump. And look how far the Dallas Cowboys have fallen from that point. okay? With Mike McCarthy, who's this, you know, Super Bowl winning head coach, the team doesn't respond to him at all. So if I'm Jerry Jones and I'm taking a macro look at the whole organization and where we stand, again, I think I might have to clean house, coach, players, just start this thing over again.
Does he need to fire the general manager?
The owner should fire the general manager. Yeah,
the general manager can't be fired because he's the owner. So
yeah, exactly.
You're not going to do that. But everything else, I would hit the reset button.
Now, what happens inside a locker room like that when you could feel like the team is – like there's so much expectation and there's a lot of anticipation. It's America's team. It's a big brand team. You've got everything – everything you would possibly want as a football player is in that facility. Everything you would want is in that market, right? It's perfect. It's nirvana for a football player because there's also no pressure to win, clearly. Right? Like there's failure everywhere and they just keep going and keep going. The owner would have to admit that he's wrong, which he rarely will do. So if you're a player, do you have that sense? Because that's one thing that Bart keeps saying. Canty has said it as well. Others have said it as well about when you're a Cowboy, when you go there to play, like you get soft. You get soft. Is that something that happens to a player? You go there and you realize like, I don't really have to win. Like there's no accountability here. So it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, think about it. The Cowboys have been, you know, a laughing stock for 25 years. They haven't, you know, it's been like that long. I mean, yes, they've had seasons where they've been successful and won a division and got to the postseason. But, you know, ever since Jimmy Johnson left, that whole organization has just been turned upside down. You know, it just hasn't been the same type of organization that we saw from the Dallas Cowboys in the early to mid 90s. So. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, when it comes to Jerry Jones, ego plays a big role in this, man. And I don't know if Jerry Jones' ego is going to allow him to do what I think is in the best interest of the Cowboys and hit the reset button and kind of build this thing back up again. Because what they're doing now, it's just not – they're so far away from contending right now, it's ridiculous.
Now, Wood, I can only imagine – what Monday was like after that game, because you know you go into the auditorium, you have the entire team there, you have the staff, you got the trainers there, you have the, you know, you have everybody in there, right? You got the strength coach in there, his staff, and I'm assuming that Mike McCarthy had to come into the auditorium and he had to address his team, and I'm sure the first thing he said is what is understood doesn't have to be said. And I shouldn't have to come here. All you guys have played this game for a long time. And never on any level has it ever been acceptable to allow anybody from the opposing team to take a cheap shot at your quarterback. And not only to take a cheap shot, but to put him out of the game where he's physically damaged, where he can't continue the next week. And the fact that nobody, I don't care if you're on the bench or if you were on that field, the fact that nobody was appalled enough to go or inclined enough to, one, go out there and check on Andy Dalton, but two, to come over with a right-hand cross, a left-hand cross, to come out and defend their teammate is unbelievable. And if we don't understand that, then we can't do anything until we understand that we, one, protects our teammates, two, especially our quarterback. And I would have to ask, what would that meeting be like when you went into the offensive lineman room and the offensive lineman coach had to address that after hearing that from the head coach?
Well, listen, I think you know, a couple thoughts come to my mind, you know, in that particular situation. I think the overarching theme in my head is it speaks to the culture within that organization. I mean, the fact that you allow a team, in the Washington football team, a player
from the
team who is your arch rival. Guy comes in like a missile and hits your quarterback while he is sliding, while he is giving himself, takes a vicious hit, and nobody runs to his defense? Nobody does anything? It just baffles me, you know, and I just started thinking, okay, are we in different times? You know, because back in the day, you know, it would have been a fisticuff. It would have been a full-out brawl, but these cats now might not get down like that. Now, you know, that was the first thought in my head. But then, I started thinking, too, a lot of the, a lot of the offensive linemen, they were backups. So would they really want to do that, knowing that they're backups and go to, go to blows and stuff like that? So I just think, man, it's just an overall bad look by the Cowboys organization. It just to me shows where the arrow is pointing as far as where that organization is headed, and it just gave me more reason, more evidence to say that I think this organization needs to hit the reset button.
Yeah, it's interesting, and in a division where, like you said, I mean, there's opportunity everywhere, and that's why for the Eagles, who are going to be so over the cap that you'd think they'd be trying to be sellers before the trade deadline, they're like, oh, we got a chance to win the division, so what do you do now? But in the division is also the Giants. So let me ask you a question that Chris Canty said this during the game last week when I was texting him, and then he said it on the air the next day, so I'm not putting them, I'm not putting them on blast, but I want to get your take on this. He said that Andrew Thomas, the first-round pick for the Giants, the offensive tackle, who came in with all the accolades that you would want for a tackle in the first round, he said he is approaching Eric Flowers' territory right now with the way he's playing, and the Giants are fighting the idea of having to bench this kid. What have you seen?
Well, listen, I think here's what's happened with Andrew Thomas, and just kind of going bigger picture. I think that, number one, playing offensive line is one of the hardest positions to transition to in the National Football League. And I think part of the reason Andrew Thomas is frowned upon so bad is actually because of the success of the other guys that's been drafted at that same position. Go around and look. When you watch Mekhi Becton playing, I think he's the best offensive tackle in that whole class of guys. You look at Tristan Wirfs, the tackle down in Tampa Bay, who's playing awesome. Jedrick Wills, the left tackle who's with the Cleveland Browns, is playing awful. So those are the four guys, the core four guys that are, that were picked in the top 11 of this past draft. Those other three guys are playing well, but the guy who was picked first is having a slower transition to the National Football League. I'm not the one that's willing to give up on him, because I know how hard it is to transition, especially when you don't have an off season. I just think that you can't look at him and then look at the other guys and say, well, why isn't he playing as well as the other guys? It just, people develop at different speeds. So I'm not willing to throw him in the trash heap, but he definitely needs to step his game up, at that left tackle position.
So I got a question for you. Let's play a game. Like, I want to know, new faces and new places, who are you most excited to see? Are you most excited to see Antonio Brown with Tampa Bay? Are you more excited to see Ndakwe with the Baltimore Ravens or Dez Bryant? Or are you more excited to see Le'Veon Bell in his first real week with the Kansas City Chiefs? And who do you think means more? What addition is the most valuable to that out of all those people I just named?
I'm most excited to see Antonio Brown. I just think that with the cloud that's been around Antonio Brown, the relationship that he has with Tom Brady, and you also got to remember, Chris Godwin got that fractured finger, so, he's going to be out this week. He could be out longer. What does Antonio Brown look like on the field? Because let's put this thing in perspective. For all the foolishness and everything, nonsense that Antonio Brown has gotten himself into, over the past couple of years, make no mistake about it. Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in the league. There was no question about that. He was the best wide receiver in the National Football League. And in my opinion, he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Yep.
So now you put him with Tom Brady, he's entering MVP conversation. He's playing that well. You put him in now that he's with Tampa Bay, and Gronk is starting to come alive. They got Mike Evans. They got
Fournette.
They got Ronald Jones. They got Leonard Fournette. Boy, I'm really excited to see what Antonio Brown looks like after basically 2 years off from meaningful football.
Now, I think Antonio Brown can be the biggest mismatch in the game. And I say that, I say when Chris Godwin comes back, you couldn't stop him on the outside. How the hell are you going to stop him in the slot? Not being able to get a hand on him in that short space, and you the third best corner on their team. Like, I think
Think about this. And you know this, watching Antonio Brown all the years in Pittsburgh. Double teams couldn't stop him. He was beating double teams. So, if you're getting that type of Antonio Brown, man, watch out, NFC. Watch out, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're going to be hard to stop.
Now, how do you think Bill feels about this? Because we've always talked about what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And it looks like Bill don't have the secret sauce. Like, he took Matt Castle and made him a Pro Bowl caliber type of quarterback. But he's struggling with Cam Newton to the point where he benched him last week. And Tom Brady's just flourishing. I understand it's unfair because Tom Brady has an offense of superstars and a team that was ready to win. But we thought, and is this the biggest indictment or the biggest case for Brady that he should, like LeBron, could be the MVP every year? Because he took that same team to the playoffs and that same team almost before and won a Super Bowl.
Well, I think what we're seeing now is the biggest indictment of Bill as a GM. I don't think anyone disputes Bill as a coach. He is by far the best coach in professional sports, but we can definitely pick apart Bill, the GM, and that's what we're seeing with the New England Patriots. I mean, I had read some of the numbers on Get Up this morning. You know, the New England Patriots, 31st in the league in explosive plays, only ahead of the New York Jets. All their quarterbacks combined have only thrown 3 touchdowns this season. Think about that. 3 touchdowns this season. We got quarterback Tom Brady threw 5.5 in 1 half. So it just shows you the lack of talent that they have on that team. And to me, that's where you can absolutely go after Coach Belichick as far as the GM hat that he also wears, as well as being the head coach.
Now, the one argument I'll make for Bill, the GM, is that he wanted to keep Jimmy G as quarterback and maybe wouldn't have the issues that he's having right now after Tom left, but that's another conversation. The last thing I have for you, Wood, as we'll play this game of that Bart was just playing here, I'm going to give you, we're at the midpoint of the season, or at least after this weekend, we'll be at the midpoint of the season. So let me give you some teams, and you tell me who you believe in and who you don't trust, all right? So you got in the AFC, Pittsburgh 6-0, Baltimore's 5-1, Tennessee's 5-1, and Kansas City 6-1. In the NFC, you got Seattle at 5-1, Green Bay at 5-1, and Tampa Bay at 5-2. Who do you trust, and who do you not trust at those records right now?
Let's see. I trust Kansas City. Kansas City is going to be there. I trust Pittsburgh. With Big Ben, I trust them.
How about Green Bay and Tampa on the NFC side? Do you trust them? And how about Seattle's defense? Do you trust them?
Of those three on the NFC, I trust Tampa the most out of those three. Because Tampa, listen, anyone who's watched Tampa, Tampa's defense is legit. Like Todd Bowles, running that defense, those boys play ball. They play ball. They are the NFC version of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the way they play defense. So I feel more confident about Tampa on that in the NFC.
Love it. My man, always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
You should have put Cleveland.
Hey, no problem, guys. Take it easy.
Before we get to audio files, let's take Spike in New Jersey. Spike, how are you?
Okay, boys.
What's happening?
All right. Gotta get the music in sync. It is what I think. This mayor is going to go down as the worst mayor in the history of New York. He's got so many more important things. That truck driver hit a chord with me going by the NBA store, which, as you can imagine, I frequented often. And it just breaks my heart to hear it. What's he wasting his time on this for? He's got so much. You've got so many problems.
Because he can. Well, it's because he can. He said, we own the land. It's our due diligence. We're supposed to. This is what we're supposed to do and all that stuff. You can do it, but why public? Why make it a public thing?
That's right.
Why turn it into this?
His wife finally, she was going to run for borough president.
Swinging it around, man.
I know, man. There's more important things, and there's a lot going on, and who knows what's going to be next Tuesday. Let's get it together. And these kids, everyone's a kid to me, as you know, working in the stores. You go, I know kind of where you live, Bart, and you go to Morristown, you frequent those, you go into those shops, and when you leave, do you really think, I know I do, I'm sure you do, I'm saying this rhetorically, I feel bad for those people. The germs, everything. I really feel bad for it. But let me get off this topic for a half a second. I want to just throw this in. I want your opinion, Alan, and yours too, Bart. Alan, do you think that Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers could teach Ben Simmons how to shoot?
I don't think it's going to matter. It's not going to matter. I'm telling you.
He's going to be a small forward now, right?
Well, here's the thing. They don't bring Daryl Morey into the Sixers for him to just sit back and just sort of advise and offer some idea. The guy can't sit still without turning the roster
doer.
Up.
Yeah, he's a doer.
He's always a doer. That's a great way to put it. He's a doer. He's a guy that sees, let me remake this thing. Let's make something here. Let's create some action. I've said this about it, Daryl. He's the GM you want your team to have because you're always in the action.
Okay.
Right? So I can't see them leave. To have Embiid and Simmons together, everyone outside of Philadelphia agrees that is not, that they just don't fit. They're not compatible. So who do you keep and who do you trade? And what do you get for these guys? You know, that's something I'm curious to see over the next, you know, couple of weeks, months, whatever, what ends up happening there. Because if I'm Doc, I don't take that job if you're going to tear up the roster and give me something that I got to develop and build. So you're not trading them for young guys.
Three things.
You're trying to trade them. You're trading stars for stars. And we'll see, you know, obviously what that turns into. And it's funny, we bring that up because Stephen A. had an interesting thing to say this morning about what Philly should do. And that's coming up right now, Bart, in Audio Files.
The Audio File.
But we'll get to that in a moment. First, to football. We haven't spent a lot of time on this, Bart, but as we know, Odell Beckham Jr. now out for the season.
Yep.
With the knee injury. And the narrative now in Cleveland and around the NFL, because of the way Baker Mayfield played the rest of that game, and we've talked to other people about this, is with Odell out of there. I think we talked to Rex about this, right? With Odell out of there, Baker Mayfield seemed like a different quarterback, where he wasn't so locked in, focused, or feeling the pressure to involve Odell, and was able to spread the ball around and just looked a lot better. And Baker hates that narrative. In fact, he talked about it, and we'll play it for you right now.
Well, one, I think it's just completely insensitive to a guy that just tore his ACL, so I'm not even going to comment on it. You never want to lose guys, and that's where I'm going to leave that one.
Do you feel that? I mean, he's got to say that publicly, but I mean, do you feel like that's a hard thing for a quarterback to say, like, oh, I'm better because this guy's not here?
It does, and here's the problem, though. Like, for Odell, it was a natural out in his contract in 2021 that they can get a break from the contract. So, you can give him an injury settlement and send him on his way. I know we've been reporting for years that they want to trade him. It just didn't seem to work out. It seemed like they were pressing. Before that, you know, Landry was the catch guy that caught all the balls. Him and Baker had a tremendous chemistry. And then when Odell came, we thought it was going to be a match made in heaven. Two teammates that have played with each other, so shouldn't be any jealousy. And it just hasn't worked out. And we know in these arguments who always wins out is the quarterback. So the quarterback shows that he can produce more without Odell there, then Odell won't be back there. They'll have a natural out. They'll just have to give him an injury settlement. But his time was up because it was a natural clause in that contract for 2021, and we've been speaking about it for years.
Well, keep an eye on how things go this week for Cleveland. All right. So did you see this? So Gronkowski, after last week's game for the Bucs, he talked about his touchdown celebration and the pass on that touchdown he caught. You know, obviously for him, a return to the NFL. From Tom Brady, he said, "It's like a saying my mom used to say. It must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that. You don't get time to react. All that stuff."
Yo,
he's bringing syrup in on passes from Tom Brady. So he explained the whole syrup reference here.
it's kind of saying, you know, you gotta just take it how it sounds sometimes. You know, you don't got much time to react. And syrup drizzles, you got to make that play. And a stick of butter, it's a block. You got to put it in the microwave to melt it. That just takes too long. You got to make that play right away, baby. And you know, that's why I'm like the maple syrup. That's why she used to always say that, because quick with it. I just drizzle all over the place.
Well, what the hell is quick about syrup?
Phrasing. Did you hear? Wait. That last part?
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore?
So apparently his mom used to say, I'm quick with it because I just drizzle all over the place.
Yo, that is so many runs in.
That's going to a place, man, I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about.
Grunks thinks on a whole different level that we can't. Like, I'll just put it like that. He's so far ahead of us.
This was Blitzer Prevent. Would you prevent that? I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, man. Grunk, man, listen. Syrup is slow as hell, man.
True.
Syrup is like honey. It moves slow as hell. You can pour syrup. It takes forever to move. It ain't liquid. Like, it. Syrup and what was he trying to say? It must be jelly because jam don't shake like that?
Well, he's saying it must be syrup because butter don't drizzle like that.
But that's a playoff. It must be jelly because jam don't shake like that.
Shake like that, yeah. But the whole I'm quick with it, I drizzle all over the place is...
It's nothing quick about syrup. Syrup is slow.
It's grown. It's grown. And that's Anthony right now in the control room. So let's move on to the NBA. You heard Spike talk about it. Obviously, Daryl Morey taking the job in Philly with Doc Rivers as the head coach there. All right, so a lot of changes at the top of that organization. Makes you wonder now what's going to happen to the roster. Interesting take by Stephen A. this morning on First Take about James Harden. Take a listen.
First thing I'm trying to do is get James Harden to become a Philadelphia 76er.
Ooh.
Even if it means me trading Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. Let me say this again. I love me some Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. I know how elite defensively he is. He's only 24 years of age, 6'10". Ooh. You know, plays defense the way that he does. The basketball IQ, the basketball ability. But I will remind everybody, while we sit here and we lament the state of affairs with the Houston Rockets and all of this other stuff, let me remind everybody that for the last 3 years, James Harden has averaged 30, 36, and 34. The last 5 years, he's averaged at least 29. We know he got a handle. We know he got a shot. We know he's a scoring machine. He's a magician, okay? And the opportunity to pair him with somebody like a Joel Embiid, when you have Tobias Harris's of the world and Thibault and all of these guys, when you look at what they have in place.
He just said Thibault and all of these guys. Hello, Steve. I tell you what, though, I like the take. First of all, because it means the Sixers will stay right where they are, which is basically a second round team exit.
Oh, you hate Hurts.
Mediocre.
So much.
Nah, I'm messing. No, it's.
I don't
think it'd be interesting. How he works with Embiid would be interesting, however, because you could do a lot of screen roll like he did with Clint Capella, but it could also be pick and pop stuff because Embiid can do that. Those two could be a lot more lethal because Harden can shoot the three and takes a lot of them. So it's an interesting take. However, now let's add to this, Bart, and then, of course, I'll let you then comment once we get the whole story. Add to it now that if you do that and send Simmons, this is all hypothetical, but it's interesting. Send Simmons to Houston. Now what do you do with Russell Westbrook? Because Russell Westbrook, it's two guys who aren't great outside shooters who need the basketball in their hand. You can't do that. So here's Jay Will on KJZ about Russell, what you could do with Russell Westbrook.
If you're your Knicks, what are you willing to give up? I mean, you're willing to give up a lot of stuff. You're willing to give up Alfred Payton, Bobby Portis, throw Kevin Knox in there, throw a second-round pick, throw a first-round pick in 2022. You're willing to make moves in order to wheel and deal. And then if you're Houston, if you're using that and some of those pieces come off the books, you know, what other big-time free agent could you target? Could you go after? I don't know what the answers are right now, but it still seems like there's so many moving parts, right? Like, it felt like Ty Lue was supposed to be the guy to go to Houston. That didn't work out. Really happy for Coach Silas. First head coaching opportunity, right? He's been assistant coach in the league for 20 years. Incredible pedigree. But at the same time, you're having two guys who people expect to win yesterday. The whole narrative on James Harden is he's the guy that can do it for you throughout the regular season but can't do it to you in the playoffs. So if you're James Harden, you're getting to that point. You know, how much longer do I give time here in Houston?
It's interesting if you think about it. They hire Silas, who's a lot of people are high on, but an experienced coach. Are you bringing him in to coach a rebuild or a younger group? And if that's the case, getting a guy like Ben Simmons, getting some assets from the Knicks to help, you know, jumpstart that rebuild would be a real interesting scenario in Houston, and obviously a major impact in the East. What do you think?
So who did Daryl Morey trade? He traded who? He traded Clint Capella, right? Who was a nice player, right?
A real nice player.
Because he don't like big men. So why the hell would he trade Ben Simmons, who is a big man but an athletic point forward or point whatever you want to call? I think that he may want to trade one of those guys, but I would get rid of Embiid because I feel like Simmons has the longer shelf life because I don't worry about his health. I don't worry about his knees. I don't worry about his injury history. So if that's the case, I keep Simmons. I'm sending Simmons to Golden State.
Oh, you mean Embiid?
I'm sending Embiid to Golden State. Keeping Simmons. I'll take Wiggins. I'll take that first-round draft pick, the number two overall pick.
Ooh.
And then I'll switch it up that way. I mean, if you do decide to go there, I like the pairing of Al Horford as my stretch big, right? And I like the fact that I'll have Harding with Simmons, who can take some of the pressure off of him and be the point forward when Harden is tired, and somebody that's going to go crash the boards and don't care about taking shots and allow James Harden to put up as many three-pointers as he wants because he'll crash the boards. So I like Tobias
and
Harris.
Defend.
Right. So I like Tobias Harris with the fact that Embiid or that Simmons will be the guy that checks a guy like LeBron. He'll be a guy that checks Kevin Durant. He's that big guy that can stay with them. So I'd much rather get rid of Embiid, let Embiid go over there where they have all the shooters in the world where he can be happy and be able to trade it. I'll do a three-team trade and do it that way.
See,
so
to
take
me,
that,
those,
Jay Will.
But no, I like it. But those are two deals that really shake the league, doesn't it? Like
yes.
An Embiid to the Warriors for,
it's
the,
make
two,
LeBron protest.
For the two
he
overall.
Protest.
Wiggins, the Philly gets younger. Get you know, but gets the two, you know, like that. Oh, man,
you got Doc with Wiggins. Doc can coach a guy like
but
Wiggins.
Doc, but again, effort. But does Doc want to have to deal with a younger team? Is the question.
But you still have
he
Simmons.
Take that
to,
job.
Al Horford and Tobias Harris ain't young. These are older guys. He's already coached.
But Al Horford with Harden would be a real interesting thing as well, because you do have he is a good defender. Now, he's older, but he didn't fit with Embiid, but he showed you in Boston that he was the backbone of that team's defense. He's a smart player, and he can, right, you're right, he can shoot the three to spread. Simmons would then have to go to the four, but he'd have to learn how to play without the ball. I don't know if he likes that, though. That's the one issue.
No, but he takes time off. He can bring it up at times when you take your point guard off the court. That's when he takes over, just like AD takes over when LeBron ain't on the court. Now the offense runs through him.
It's interesting, man, right? Like there's something about that I feel like Philly, by bringing in Morey, is sort of become the starting point of any movement. Or I should say maybe the Rockets. It's either the Rockets or Philly will almost like be like – it's like the – what's the, like the it's horn at the beginning of the horse race, right?
Exactly.
You know what?
Like,
I don't know.
Like that's
tell
yeah,
you what.
Know,
tell you what. Right. If I'm the Knicks, I'm saying okay, I'll take a contract because clearly they're if Harden's gone, then they're trying to restart, and then they got to figure out what to do with Westbrook. They can trade him later in the season.
Yeah.
If I'm the Knicks, I don't want Harden. I want Aaron Gordon. I love his defense.
I just want a fair chance, man.
I love his ability. I love the way he can shoot. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that he's able to facilitate and fit in. So now I love to have him as a guy that can shoot and spread the court. You bring Westbrook over here, he can't damn shoot. The lane going to be still clogged up. You have Gordon, he going to spot up and give you that shooting that you need.
See, I'm also mad at Anthony because he knew exactly what I was referencing. He could have just played the drop. He could have played the Belmont thing when we do Belmont or Saratoga.
Yep.
Right? We know exactly what that sound is.
Really?
Naira. It's Naira and the horns that you know this means that the race is about to begin. And he just won't play it, even though I keep telling him to. He won't do it. This is bad teammate right now, making me look bad.
Yeah, man.
He knows exactly what I'm talking
about. Bit of misery. Dilly dilly.
See this? He won't do it. It's Naira. When I say Naira, there's those horns, and you play them. How dare you?
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, Bart, as we begin week 8 in the NFL, and tonight's Thursday night game, your Falcons versus the Panthers. And so we'll put a team together from this lineup, and Carolina's offense is real interesting. So Mike Davis will be our MVP tonight, the running back. He's done very well. You mentioned him earlier in the show.
Yes,
somebody that if you were a fantasy owner, if you picked him up, you were smart. We add to it Calvin Ridley from Atlanta, who's really emerged there. Robbie Anderson, Jets fans, you don't want to look where he ranks when it comes to yards this season with Carolina. Then we'll go with my man Teddy Bridgewater as well as one of the flexes, quarterback. He's done very well. And Russell Gage, the wide receiver from Atlanta, will add him to it as well. So I like that. It could be some fireworks in this game. Could be a good Thursday night game. And we'll keep an eye on that. And, you know, we opened the show with the news about the COVID issues that the Giants are now dealing with. Will Hernandez, reports say, tested positive. He was sent home along with the other offensive linemen that he has been in contact with. They're doing their meetings virtually today. They don't play till Monday. But if Will Hernandez tested positive, then Barty's not going to be able to play on Monday night against the Bucs.
Unless you're Nick Sabans.
Yeah, I guess they'd have to find it to be a false positive if they come up with two more tests or whatever it is that it takes to allow him to play. But that's, you know, that's where that is right now. And of course, for the Giants, I mean, it's one of the few positions they could afford. They aren't very deep anywhere, but they can't afford to lose anybody off that offensive line. They lose him, so he would be out of it. So like I said, this is week 8, and there are a lot of interesting matchups, and we'll get into a lot of them tomorrow when we break down the NFL and get ready for the weekend. But we can't not overlook the fact that this could be the last weekend where some teams look the way they look, because the trade deadline is on the other side of this thing.
Yeah, sorry to
start. And it's really interesting. Do you think, because we've already seen, like you said, we've seen some teams already make decisions. The Cowboys look like they're blowing stuff up. Can you see that there? Do you think there's going to be, from what you see or what you hear, do you think it's going to be a busy trade deadline in the NFL with some teams maybe looking to get rid of some contract or try to get some draft assets at all, or teams loading up, seeing opportunity? I mean, the NFC East is so up for grabs. The Eagles have players they probably should unload, but I don't know if they will to get under the cap. But I don't think they will, because somebody's got to win that division.
Yeah, I tell you what, but you know, it's one thing to win a division, but it's one thing to not have perspective and understand that you're not a legitimate threat to do anything in the playoffs. It's one of those things. Oh yeah, you can say getting the playoffs is a good experience. This is a team. These are veteran teams that have been there. A name to watch for the Jets, because I see it was reports that they were trying to get rid of him, maybe to the Ravens. The fact that Zach Ertz hasn't got paid, and he's been complaining about, you know, how they don't like him, and complaining about how they're $64 million over the cap, right? They're $64 million over the cap next year. Remember, you heard it here first. Joe Douglas came from where?
Philly and Baltimore.
No, where did he come from after that? Philadelphia.
I said Philly and Philly. And then Baltimore.
You cut out. So Philadelphia, right? So Philadelphia's right there. You got a disgruntled top three tight end that's going to be available because they're $64 million over the cap. Watch Joe Douglas, if he gets a free agency, go for that type of player. And bye-bye Herndon, Sam Darnold, whoever you got arguably a top five tight end in the game, and that's where you build from. Mims, Ertz, and Crowder.
Perriman,
maybe. You know, Perriman's on a 1 year, so he could be gone.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, so imagine this, Jet fans. You want some hope? There's some hope for your ass. We heard that reports that Galladay was up for grabs because the Lions haven't paid him and thought that the Giants looked at him. Okay, so if I can't get Galladay to pair with Crowder, Ertz, and Mims, then I'm going to say, well, guess what? Give me Juju Smith-Schuster. Give me Mims. Give me Ertz. And give me Crowder, and we got something to work with. And I'm spending all my equity on that offensive line, and all them dudes that I got in the inside of that offensive line got to go bye-bye.
You think Will Fuller could be available?
Will Fuller's
on his fifth year. He's on his fifth year in Houston. They got to make a decision with him.
Problem with him. Always injuries. Damn hurt.
But not
always
this year.
Hurt. Yeah, because it's money time. As soon as you give him the money, you're going to get hurt again. Yeah. I mean, Kenny Stills, you can get him. He's a cheap man's Will Fuller. So okay. I understand that he's a deep threat, but that's what you got Mims for, a big deep threat. Give me somebody that can that's a professional receiver. Give me Kenny Galladay, who's a star in Detroit, or give me – I'd rather have Ertz because he's going to give you the most because he's proven it over a long time. How much time we got? I don't want to make sure I talk past
you. No, you got plenty. No, I love this because you're giving us some good nuggets here. So you're not saying that the Jets would make a move
No, I'm
on
not giving
Ertz
them nothing.
Now you're saying
– you're $64 million over the cap, bro.
The Eagles are.
Yeah, next year, reportedly $64 million. Yeah,
that's why the thinking is that they almost should have to make moves at the deadline to get these contracts out of the way while he can still get something for them. I know he's hurt. He's not going to help anybody.
So he's hurt. No, he's hurt. So you can't move a hurt player because he won't pass the physical. You don't know what the hell's wrong with him. So that's great. Don't be Jets. Do not be the Knicks.
Overlooked that part.
Jets, don't be the Knicks. Don't be the Knicks. Don't trade for somebody that you can get in free agency and give up draft capital when you can get this dude because you have a personal relationship with him next year.
That's interesting. No, I look.
Get him in 5 months.
Yeah, that's an absolutely
and give
great
him the Le'Veon
name.
Bell money. Give him the Le'Veon Bell money that comes off the book. Get Zach Ertz and then go get Juju or Galladay.
I like it. All right, Rick, quickly, we'll take Chris in Manhattan on this. Hey, Chris.
Hey, fellas. Look, man, Bark, you got me dancing right now. Look. I'm right with everything that you're talking about with the with free agency. I was talking with Larry Hardesty last night about this. One more name as far as wide receiver, Chris Godwin, is that a possibility? And then I need to know about these edges. I'm looking at like a Bud Dupree or like Matt Judon or
This is the thing. They can't pay Bud Dupree and pay T.J. Watt, who's right behind him. So you can't pay Bud Dupree because that means you lose to J.J. Watt. I mean, mm-hmm. T.J. Watt the next year, who's the better of the two. Bud Dupree just really came on the last 2 years. So you got Bud Dupree. You got Clowney. You got Shaq Barrett. You got Juju Smith-Schuster. You got Ngakoue. You're going to be able to spin and get that. Go get me Zach Ertz and go get me a guy.
This is what we're going to do, Bart. We're going to do this. No, it's fine. I think we need to do a little bit of that with you either today or on trade deadline day. We need to talk about like moves that you would make or could make. That's what I think we should do because you've got a lot of info to give. I could feel it. I got to get that out of you. K-Show 20 and 20 contest. It starts today. Remember, 3 o'clock. Listen for your chance to win 20 great prizes over 20 days. Make your home a life a little more enjoyable. The 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Rich & Son, Kansas City Steak, Bartesian Premiums, Cocktails on Demand at 98.7 ESPN. Bart, great job. See you tomorrow.
I holler.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.